Hey Gladiator, we have gotten your emails, seen your comments and messages, and we're answering yes to the call. We're going to be having a live taping of the Good Gas Monday season finale. It's happening on Monday, May 20, 2019. And if you'd like to be a part of our live studio audience right here in Kingston, Jamaica, please send me an email at killfearnow@gmail.com so we can add you to the list. Hurry up, spaces are limited, and I'm looking forward to seeing you there. Greetings and blessings, and welcome to another edition of Good Gas Mondays with me, Crystal Tomlinson. You are tuned in for another powerful episode in our series. We do this because I need it, you need it, we all need it. That good energy that helps us to change our minds about our limitations. Some strong, positive conversations to shift our lens from lack to abundance. And of course, some hard science to understand what our emotions really mean and how we can lead emotionally healthy lives. I'm dedicated to talking about feelings, the good, the bad, because we need that kind of emotional diversity if we are to truly be happy. And so my guest today is a happiness coach and an attorney. She also has a Bachelor of Science in psychology. What a fantastic marriage of psychology, law, and happiness. Her name is Rochelle Gapir, and she's Jamaican. The last name, though, is from her dad, who is Ugandan. So we're going to talk a little bit about that African connection. But let's introduce her to you, right? But I want her to do it because her voice and her energy and her vibe, I don't think I can replicate that by reading a bio. So Rochelle, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks for having me.
It is a pleasure to meet you in person. Visited your website and felt like I knew you because the vibe that I got off that page was absolutely overwhelming. And being in the same room with you is the same kind of good, clean energy that I'm feeling. So I know my listeners are gonna feel that too. So walk us through Rochelle's growth, you know, from baby Rochelle to teenage to middle-aged Rochelle. What would you say are some of your key lessons through those phases? Who are you and how you know that that's who you are?
Okay, so I was born in Washington, D.C. to a Jamaican mom and a Ugandan dad. And so I moved to Jamaica when I was a couple months old, and I went to Faith Simpson Prep and then to St. Andrew Prep and then to Campion High School. So I would say the one thing that has been consistent in my life since I've known myself is that I've been surrounded by a lot of love. I've never known an environment where love was not the center of my life. I always felt affirmed, extremely special, valued, and loved. And so I don't know if I realized how important that was until I got to like my formative years when I started dating and, you know, like hearing people's stories. And even more so now than ever, as I prepare or envision having children and wanting to plan and foresee how I'm going to raise a family, I realize how important it is, no matter what. It doesn't matter if you live in a one-bedroom house or under a tree. If you know that the people who are closest to you love and value you, it sets you up for success. I don't ever remember a time where my mom or my family didn't have my back, and I called in my tribe. So my dad died when I was much younger, and it's interesting, the people who know me now, and they're like, oh, wow, but how did that affect you? Of course I was sad. I was, how old was I when he died? 8. And so I remember being very sad. And my dad, to be totally candid, he was going back and forth from Uganda to Jamaica. And at the point of his death, he was looking to move to Jamaica to work at UWI, right, as a professor. And so I remember feeling sad, but I don't ever remember feeling a void in the sense of love, you know? And so from ever since, love has been my grounding. And so I went off to college and always knew that, okay, Jamaica was home, right? And I've always had a very strong sense of self. I'm the only child. And I go back to just the feeling of love and feeling affirmed that no matter what life brought me, whether it was any disappointment. And I remember being very, very driven, like always wanting to do the best. School, but I had balance. I love to have fun. I'm a party girl through and through. But no matter what, I always just wanted to be proud of who I was. And I was raised in church. And I give this example to all my friends who have young children. I remember going to Bethel Sunday School. And now that I'm older, it resonates even more. My mom used to go to Pembroke Hall Methodist. And I used to go to a Sunday school with her, and it was boring. And so her friend, Sarah Newland, who is here in Jamaica, yeah, YMCA, told her, no, drop her to Bethel. They have an amazing Sunday school. I'll never forget this. In Sunday school, we'd have to recite verses. And I remember the verse, and you know, you're fearfully and wonderfully made, right? And as a child, 6, 7, 8 years old, reciting that, I didn't know the profound impact it would have. But I've never had any issues with self-love or self-esteem, because to me, I was just like, well, God told me I was fearfully and wonderfully made, perfect in his image. And I remember that. So as I went through life, I'd hear people, I went off to college, I went to a historically black school. It was my first time dealing with racism, you know, like hearing about black issues, white issues. It, to me, it was just like, well, I'm God's child, I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Through every season, I was just fearfully and wonderfully made, right? So I think my faith is absolutely what grounds me. Nothing matters more to me than making God proud. Literally nothing. So if I'm doing that, then all is well in my world. So a lot of my joy stems from that.
Now, what has that environment and that community of love and affirmation given you permission to do? You know, sometimes you have a great idea, but you feel like nobody not gonna support it, so you don't do it. Having that kind of affirmation from very young allowed you to take what kinds of bold and daring action?
Okay, so I just knew that I could never really fail, because I always knew that I'd have people in my corner. And so I remember I got a C. It was my first C in law school. I cried so much, Crystal. I was acting a fool. My family got on the phone. They conference called. I had an uncle at the time, and he's still an attorney, and his wife, my aunt, is an attorney also. And they said to me, if you are going to carry on like this over a C in law school, we're going to come to Miami and pick you up right now. Stop the madness. You're smart. You're capable. You're able. And it's not the end of the world. Just stop, right? So much love, so much affirmation, so much support. And after that, it just wasn't such a big deal. And all these years later, I'm like, why was I crying like a fool over a C, you know? But it just shows that no matter what, they always just affirm me. So I always wanted to be a lawyer. I've never known anything else. Now I'm like, okay, I want to do something else. But nobody ever pressured me to do anything. It was just like, do what makes you happy. And if that meant 12 things, then do those 12 things.
So you've made those affirming decisions throughout your life. Does this make me happy? Yes, I will do it.
Yes.
Does this not make me happy? I will stop doing it. Walk us through those moments when you had to protect your peace and happiness by saying bye-bye to a particular activity or person or experience.
The most profound example of that happened to me 2 years ago. So I consider myself pretty blessed in the sense that I've had a winning streak, right? Mm-hmm. Like 1 year plan, 5 year plan, 10 year plan, everything would go according to what I wanted. You know, and I said that humbly, but it was my reality.
Yeah.
You know, I'd work hard and I'd have these plans and things would happen. So 2 years ago, I walked away from a long-term relationship. It was the first time in my life where something that I really wanted wasn't gonna go my way, right? I've been dating him for 5 years. I envisioned this big grand future of us together. Oh, we're kids, we're gonna live in Miami, we're gonna conquer the world, we're gonna be the power couple. And so everything pretty much blew up in my face. Within like 2 months, like it just went from one day this was gonna be the plan to two months later, it just was clearly this was not where it's supposed to be. And so I remember waking up every morning for a while, and I was just so unhappy. And I was just like, how did I get here? Somebody who prides herself on always being very present in my life, because I'm very self-reflective and I spend a lot of time journaling. And all I could think about, and this exercise was so profound, I had the back of a receipt. And I said, 5 years, and at that time I was 35, and you know, for women, 35, yeah, the fear that sets in, having children and everything. And so I jokingly, and I don't know where I got this number from, I always say I'm gonna live till 93. Mm-hmm. And so I always say I'm gonna live till 93. So I sat and I wrote on the receipt, 5 years versus, and at that time I would have had like 57, 58 more years to live. And I said, 5 years versus 53. And the choice was easy. 5 years of my life that I've dedicated to this relationship and to this dream and to this thing that I thought, or 53 years now to create and live the life that I truly wanted. It was easy at that point. Not easy to walk away, but easy to see it glaring in my face that what I was thinking as the end of the world, 5 years, versus 53, easy, you know, it's an easy decision to make. And so, of course, there was a lot of fear, but I've always said, for me, peace of mind is everything. I will sit in a one-bedroom box with no light or anything for the rest of my life if I have peace. Peace of mind for me is happiness.
No, that was a very courageous move to me, because you know there are people who sit down, because I've been here for 10 years, I've been here for 15 years, they don't realize how many years they have left.
Yes.
And I'm a big Judge Judy fan. She has a way of scolding her litigants to say, you knew you weren't getting paid back after you loaned him the money 3 times. And he came back the 4th time and you gave him. You're literally throwing good money after bad.
Yes.
And that's what we do with our time. We can't get it back. And instead of protecting what is left, we continue to throw it at it and say, well, I've already invested this. So the sunken cost, like I've put so much in there already, I can't leave it.
Exactly.
So many women do that every day. Draw that line. I have 53 years left because God see, I know she will live till 93. But I've given 5, but come now, I have 53 left. Yeah. Do I want to do the same thing with these 53?
Yeah.
Like a half a century plus 3. And that was a very courageous move to make. How have you had to, in this happiness coaching business, had to walk people from that line of saying, I've sunk too much here, don't want to leave it, and open their eyes up to all the other possibilities they have left? Whether it's career, having children, marriage, whatever it is.
So one is about perspective. And I think, ultimately, I want people to rewire their brains on how they focus on disappointment and on rejection. And so the number one question I tell my clients is, what is this here to teach me? When you take the focus off of woe is me and into more empowerment, into a position of how can I be better through this situation? Because listen, every situation in life, even if you are only 3% responsible for what it is that's happening to you, it's your 3%. You can't change people. You can only change yourself. So what is this here to teach me is an extremely powerful question. And so once people start tapping into what is this here to teach me, then the ball starts rolling. How can I be better because of this? Okay, this breakup came to teach me what? Was I not being present in my life? How had I gotten to this place? Oh, the job laid me off. Does it mean that I could do something else? Not, oh, the job laid me off. There's something wrong with me. Do not internalize disappointment or rejection or failure as something wrong with you.
Yeah.
It's just another chapter in the book. And I look on life as a book, you know? So I'm like, okay, I'm in the chapter of happiness and coaching right now. What do you want this chapter to represent for you? You're the author of your story. You're the architect of your life. So ultimately, the power rests in you. It rests in your decisions. And so how long are you going to dwell on the disappointment, or are you going to use this disappointment to catapult you to the next level? So nobody promised you a perfect life. Nobody promised you a perfect life. And how would you become better if you did not know what sadness or failure was? So rather than internalize it as, oh, there's something wrong with Rochelle, I'm a full whole person. I am a human being. I'm going through a human existence. Of course, I'm going to make mistakes. Of course, I'm going to cry and be sad and be upset and hurt. Nobody promised us a life just of sunny days. No. And in my book, I spoke about it, that every storm runs out of rain. Literally every storm runs out of rain. It doesn't matter if it rains for 3 days, you know the sun will come again. And use that as an analogy for your life. So no matter where you are currently, you can always be better. But you literally have to make the decision that I want to be better. And every day is a new day to start over. Which is why now when people are like, oh, 2019, New Year's goals, that's great. But you can have a goal for tomorrow. You don't have to wait till January 1st to change your life. You can change your life December 31st, January 7th, March 5th, anything. You know, because I'm always like, but what miraculous is going to happen on January 1st? You're still the same exact person. You bring yourself everywhere that you go. You could move to Alaska, Alabama, wherever. If you're not sorted internally, nothing that you do externally will ever make you feel fulfilled.
And that's facts. Absolutely facts.
Yeah.
How would you define happiness, understanding that there is a role for even those negative emotions? How would you define it?
So for me, you know, I went back to happiness is peace, right? Mm-hmm. Happiness for me is peace of mind. And so happiness is just having a contentment with where you are and who you are.
And it's not about settling. It's understanding that this is who and where I am now, and that is okay.
And that's okay. And that is totally okay. Because listen, if you constantly have external circumstances that you are working towards thinking that will make you happy, then you'll be on this constant search always. Oh, I'm going to be happy when I'm a lawyer. Okay, so now you're a lawyer. What? Mm-hmm. I'm going to be happy when I'm married. Okay, now what? So that's why I always say happiness is such a simple, subtle thing, and you have to define it for yourself. So some of the happiest days for me, just sitting in bed reading a good book. And so I like to say, identify the things that make you happy. Not big things, little things. And I tell people, you can keep a journal in a week, Monday through Friday. Think of your highs and your lows. Okay, Monday, when I was driving to work and I was listening to the latest popcorn music, hype, happy. Then, when I went to work, I stood by Susie's desk and I heard her complain for 10 minutes and she just kept going on about her horrible life. Guess what? No, bypass Susie's desk. Morning, Susie, keep it moving. Because you are looking on your peaks and your lows. The things that make you happy, you start infusing them more into your life. The things that are not adding to your joy, start doing without them. You're literally in control of your life. I've gotten to the point now where, in the book, I talk about happiness enhancing decisions. Is it going to make me happy to come to you to talk to you today? Absolutely. That's why I agreed to do it. But there are certain things and places I just don't go anymore because I think about how I'm going to feel in the moment or how I'm going to feel in that space. I don't go to places that make me feel bad or don't let me feel good, you know?
So it's not that it makes me feel bad, but it doesn't make me feel good.
Because yeah. What is the point of being alive if you aren't doing things that make you feel good? And so, I do things that make me feel good. I know staying at home reading a good book makes me feel good. I get invited to baby showers, all these things all the time. I'm not going to that place for people to be asking me 1,000 million questions. When you may have kids, how you went? I just don't feel like having to have any conversations that are going to make me feel, one, defensive, two, like, you know,
uncomfortable
or whatever. So I just stay in environments that really make me feel good.
There is a sort of militance that we have to approach these kinds of things with. If you know that my joy depends on my ability to sleep for 8 hours, no matter who tells me, say, if I'm productive, I would only sleep for 5. I must be so militant about it because I know that is what works for me.
Yes.
One of the things I realize happening is in the social space that connects so many of us in healthy ways, in positive ways, we get to see all the joy that others are having, right? And it could just be a filter that makes it look like joy, right? It could be a dark moment, but I put on that, what the filter name? XX Pro, whatever that filter is. I put on the filter and then all of a sudden it looks like, oh, we have
shiny
over there. Mm-hmm. So as we watch other people experience and some enunciate their joy with their captions and their photos, we go, I want some of that. I feel like I have that. If my app that, and here comes your qualifier, if my app that, then me have the app, because right now, me not happy with my husband, but if my husband didn't have 6-pack abs like that, me would have happy, so me want that man there. How do we get to a place where envy and that sort of void that you can't fill, because I don't think everybody always has all the things that they want, but they confuse it with the need and start to want other people's things. How do you tackle envy? And you could be happy every day, and then one day you want people things. What do you do when you start to feel envious? Because it happens.
Okay, so social comparison is one of the number one causes of depression right now. Mm. Social media has caused it. Social media, of course, has its benefits. But for the most part, people are waking up in the morning, and before you even know if you can walk, you're scrolling through Instagram. You don't even say, oh, thank you for this day, nothing. You're on Instagram. And so if you're constantly feeding yourself and bombarding yourself with images of other people's lives, you don't even get the moment to just settle in your skin to think about what is good for you or just be one with your thoughts, right? So of course, comparison is helpful in the sense that it causes you to maybe want to accomplish more. Crystal started a podcast. Whoa, I thought I wanted to start a podcast, but I was scared. If she could do it, maybe I can too. Mm. If you're using it in a positive way to fuel your dreams and goals, it absolutely works. Because there are certain things that people wouldn't even know that were accessible to them if we didn't see other people do it, right? But my thing is gratitude. You see, the moment you stop and you start focusing on all the things that you do have, it makes you realize that one, you have so much more than you ever thought you did. And two, you just start focusing on your portion. So yes, Jamie has a husband, Jamie has this, Jamie has that, but what do you have? You know, you have your health, you have your eyesight. You didn't have to wake up this morning. Many people didn't live to see today. So I always say, tune back into the gratitude. Use social media, use social comparison to help fuel your dreams. Sometimes it helps to fine tune the things that you may want to the next in your life. But at the end of the day, remember, everybody's going through their own story and their own journey. They may be peaking now, but it doesn't mean that they didn't have their road to travel through. For me, I would say summer 2016, when I walked away from the relationship, okay, great, I moved on with my life. Summer 2017, I went to my job, I was brave, and I told my boss I need time. Like, I just need a break to figure out what I'm going to do next. I got 7 weeks off, a paid sabbatical, bravery got me there, right? Mm-hmm. But I was so confused about what was going to happen next. And so I'm very transparent about my story. And I tell people, when you stand in your truth, you liberate others to do the same. And so at Women Winning Now in London, I was very clear. I said, it's amazing what 1 year can do in your life. Last year in London, 2017, I was walking around thinking, okay, what am I going to do next? I just really thought this was how my life was supposed to be. Now I'm in this gray area. What can I do now? A year later, it had all come full circle. I'd written a book. It became an Amazon bestseller. I was doing a Women Winning Now Summit. I was inspiring women. I needed that inspiration the year before. So what I needed for myself, I did it for others. But it shows that we all have days in our lives where we're confused, where we don't know what's next. But if you're so busy focusing on what other people have, you don't have the energy to pursue your dreams and your goals and focus on what it is that will bring you joy. Mm-hmm. So envy and jealousy is such a negative, you know, it has no return on investment, right? But you could look at other people and be inspired. Oprah inspires me. She's a billionaire. She's built this company. I look on her with admiration and awe. So I'm grateful that I see her, but am I jealous of Oprah? Absolutely not. But she represents what I can do too, yeah, if I work hard enough. So I just say, channel the energy into positive, productive pursuits. You know, we live in an abundant universe. And I say this all the time. There's more than enough for all of us. Money will never run out. Like, just stop the craziness. You could be a billionaire. You could be a billionaire. We could all be billionaires. So why is it that you think only one person can have it? You know, scarcity, it is like it's a disease. You know, you're thinking lack, lack, lack. No, tune into abundance. Tune into abundance. Like, literally, there is no end to happiness. You can be happy, so can I. Yeah.
Beautiful. I mean, we had in 2018 created the four musts or the four truths. And one of them was about the lens that we chose to use.
Yeah.
And the commitment from me was, I'm going to have a lens of abundance and not a scarcity mindset.
Yes.
If I think I want something and I realize somebody got there before I got there, or somebody has been there for longer than I've been there, the question in my mind is not,
why her?
Yeah, why them have it and me not have it? It's, what do I have to do now so I can also be there? Because her or him having it don't mean there's none left.
To me, her or him having it is possibility.
Yes,
it shows that
what man has done, man can do.
Because I always say, if that person can have it, so can I. Mm-hmm. You know, so when people are like, oh my God, are you going to get married? I'm like, of course I'm going to get married. There are millions of women who are 35, 36, 37 who get married every day. Like, stop the craziness. Why would I be any different? Like, just stop me. Oh, then all of a sudden you could see, like, whoa, different perspective. But it's just a human thing. Always thinking negative or the lack or not enough. But there's so much more. So, you know, we spoke about this before we actually went on air, how once you are excellent and you stand in your truth, it causes people, one, to think, okay, well, I could do that too. Because eventually they realize no matter how much bad mind you throw at a situation, you can't change it. And I tell people, my blessings are tied to God, not man. Literally.
You can't disconnect me from my blessings.
You cannot disconnect me from my favor. You just can't do it, you know? Yeah.
So we have a couple of things that we like to talk about.
Yes.
One is fear.
Okay.
You know, I wrote a book on fear, so I like to pull people into those conversations on fear.
Yes.
One of the biggest fears socially is a fear of criticism. And so because we don't want people to criticize our effort or the fruit of that effort, we either hide it, don't do it at all, or pretend like we don't even want that thing.
Yeah.
And it's really because we're afraid of being criticized. Whether being criticized for not having children as yet, or not being married, or not driving a particular car, or not going to a particular school. How do you handle, because you can't escape it, that criticism that will come even as you're trying to build your happy space and stay in your happy place, and people just walk down the avenue and decide that they're going to throw a rotten tomato at the building?
Yeah.
What do you do to keep those mirrors clean as criticism comes, as it always will?
So remember what I told you earlier about me and how I see myself. And so for me, I only care truly about what God thinks about me. And it goes back to that. You cannot please everybody. You have to please yourself. And that's why it's so important that people learn to love themselves and be confident in their abilities. Because Amy will tell you should be doing one thing, you please her, then Bob tell you one thing. No, what is it that gives you peace and what makes you happy, right? So it's not that I'm not human and not think, oh, I wonder what people are going to think about that. But ultimately, I realize that I can't stand or I can't live a full, thriving, happy life if I am confined to the opinions of others. That will literally stagnate your growth. If you are making decisions based on what people think, you'll never really get anywhere, because God never gave those people your vision. He gave you your vision. It's your vision. And that's why I said you are the author of your story. So guess what? You feel the fear, you do it anyway. Mm-hmm. Are you gonna die? No. Do it anyway. Okay, they criticize you, and what? And the thing about it is, you know, I tell clients, start with the small things. And the more you get the wins, the small wins, it builds the momentum for the big wins, right? So you may say, oh Lord, I wonder what people going to say if I write the book. All right, well, maybe start with something small. I wonder what people going to say if I color my hair blonde. Color your hair blonde. Get that win. Wonder what people going to say if I start running 5K. Go and do it. The more you build your momentum, because you start building more confidence in your abilities.
Yes.
And your ability to make decisions. And you just keep the momentum going. But I will say through and through, you absolutely will never be able to please everybody. You just can't. You can't. And you know, the funny part is, I remember when I announced I'm going to be a happiness coach. What is that? How are you going to teach people to be happy? But none of those people are saying it to me. They're saying it to my best friends or whatever. What does she mean? Exactly what I'm doing. But those same exact people now are applauding. I'm so proud of you. Then imagine if I'd been standing in their criticism. I wouldn't have done anything. I'd be sitting there looking crazy, doing
wanting
nothing,
it and just
wanting
not
it. But you better
action.
Believe some of those same people now will come to me and be like, wow, watching you this year and how you have just literally just transform your life, it makes me want to do something different. It makes me want to register for that course. It makes me realize that I don't have to just be confined to one profession.
The critic has become the supporter.
The critic has, yes, and that's why you literally cannot focus on what people think you should be doing. Because when I was walking around in London, praying every day, wondering what I was supposed to be doing, nobody heard what God told me I should do. So can you imagine if I was supposed to succumb to people's criticisms and not walk in my purpose? Every day I think about that, I'm just like, wow, I would have missed out on this amazing year of my life. And I posted it this morning about God giving me beauty for ashes, and all because I was obedient. Mm-hmm. All because I was obedient. You know, and I, there was a time where I was just like, okay, how is this going to work? What will happen next? How am I going to do it? And I don't have to worry about all the hows and what will happen. I just need to do. And once I started doing, all the doors started opening. All the doors. Doors that have completely blown my mind, exceeded my expectations.
Because doors that you probably didn't even know to knock at.
Girl,
you know, but yes. I say, oh man, I'm so scared to knock at the blue door, and the white door opens and says, come over here.
Yes,
it's amazing.
The universe conspires
to make you win,
yes,
and to put things together in your favor.
Yes,
there is a beautiful lived example that we have right now, and I talk about him so often. I should invite him to come on the podcast. We want you seeing Bo's on the next podcast. I'm saying it, and we're going to get it,
yes.
Right? But he, I think, is a great living example of what it means to live fearlessly and to use courage to back up whatever ideas you have,
yes.
Even when the world doesn't believe in you.
Yes.
There was a time when Usain was winning, like he was just winning, not Olympic standard, you know, he was just winning and everybody was happy and he's the greatest thing in the world. And then he started to win at the Olympic level and he's the greatest thing in the world. And he broke the records and the greatest thing in the world. And then he went to a party and said something and he goes, I mean, I like him again, he's terrible, he's awful, we don't like him. This was the same guy who was awesome, you know? He still has the records and he's still the fastest man in the world and he just didn't like that he's partying so much. I know he's horrible. And then he went on to play football and where am I going with that? Sit down over the same, must only run, you can't do that. And then he scores the goal and he's the awesome person in the world. The opinions of the critic aren't even consistent. That's the one thing I've learned.
Yes.
Your critic can't even be consistent enough in what they're criticizing you about.
Because most of them don't even know themselves. Most of them don't know themselves. So today they love it,
and tomorrow they hate the same thing. I don't know, it's a little lukewarm. And then, so if you ride that roller coaster with them,
yes.
How will you ever find peace, i.e. happiness?
Yeah, and you won't.
Yeah. It's amazing. I have to talk to you, Sam, because there must be something in his brain that he's also using to handle that global criticism.
Yeah,
now.
Yeah.
It's one thing to handle it in your comments on Instagram.
Yeah.
But to handle it
on such an international level.
People across the world.
But it's self-confidence, you know. It's self-confidence and self-belief.
And I don't find it a coincidence that he was raised in the home with mom and dad.
Yeah.
That has to play a big role. So I'm saying it now for my listeners. If you have his cell number, WhatsApp him and tell him that I'm trying to reach him.
Add it to his Instagram comments.
Yeah, let's start harassing him on Instagram because what you have said is so true and I'm seeing it in the examples of other people out there
yeah.
who we think are big and brave and bold.
Yeah.
It might well be those same neuroscience kind of strategies that they're using in here, self-esteem, the visualization,
yeah.
the affirmations, to keep their mental space clean enough to perform.
Absolutely. Just not succumbing to the fear and succumbing to people's opinions mm-hmm. is important, you know? And, you know, I always say the day you really liberate yourself and just be so comfortable in your skin that, yes, the noise is going on around you, but because you are clear on who you are, it's just noise. It really is noise because who knows you better than you know yourself? And that's why you really have to take the time to know yourself. So nobody can tell you anything about you. If I tell you right now, oh, Crystal, you are wearing a blue dress and you are indeed in a yellow dress. You're fucking crazy. You're like, no. You will say it without a shadow of a doubt.
Exactly.
I mean, yeah.
Something's wrong with you.
But that's how you know if somebody said to you, oh, you're mean or Crystal, this or no. At the core of it all, you know you're a kind, good person. So even if anybody else says any differently to you, you don't believe it. Even if you even think about it, like, am I mean? Am I? All of a sudden, you're like, you go back to the truth. Crystal, I know I'm a kind, good, generous person. And you stay there.
Powerful. And I'm going to use that example in very short order. You think I'm in blue? I know I'm in yellow.
Yes.
So I'm not going to chase you around the mulberry bush on this one.
Think, yeah.
Fantastic. It was a pleasure talking to you, Rochelle. The energy, as I said, undoubtedly, I know the listener is tuned in right now and wondering, how does she sustain this every single day? You know, is this healthy? Is this normal? Tell us the truth about happiness. Is it an everyday thing?
No. So listen, it's just like anything else. It's a muscle that you have to exercise.
Mm-hmm.
It's a muscle you have to exercise, but the more you practice happiness, and it truly is a practice, you have to practice it. And so you will have days where things aren't necessarily going your way, but you just switch that mind and start thinking, okay, but these things are going bad, but what am I grateful for? Oh, the last time these bad things happened to me, who did I become because of that trial or that tribulation? So you start putting yourself in a position where it's not that bad things are happening. It's not that you're not in a good place, but you just have better perspective, you know? And so you build your emotional resilience.
Yeah.
So yes, you know, and I always say, after a while, you started with 5-pound weights. Then one day you go to the gym and you're like, oh my God, this is so light. Soon you're like lifting 20 pounds and it's like nothing to you. So that's why I said it is what you practice, but you also have to be very conscious of what you are allowing in your life. who are the people that you're allowing to speak into your life? I love to do the exercise. Look in your phone, the five people who you spoke to last or who you speak to most often on WhatsApp, text, or on regular phone calls, how are they making you feel? Are they making you feel good when you're talking to them? Are you talking about gossip or are you talking about things that are edifying your life? What are you spending your time doing? Go through your days almost looking on yourself outside of yourself. I woke up this morning, I went to run. That's good. I spent 2 hours on the phone gossiping about everybody's business. How did that make you better? Stop doing it. You have to be conscious about the energy you're bringing into your life and the people you're bringing into your life. And so that's why I say happiness is a practice. If you're just rolling around, just going with the flow and just allowing the world to just throw things at you, you realize, okay, I'm just taking on too many things. You have to consciously go through your days, consciously do things, be aware of your actions, what you're saying, what are your thoughts, what are you telling yourself? Are you speaking life into your situations? How often are you telling yourself, I love you, you're beautiful, you're enough, you're great, you can accomplish anything you want to accomplish? How often are you telling yourself that? But you'd sit there and you'd expect friends or family members to celebrate you, but how often are you celebrating yourself? And people treat you how you let them.
What is, and this is our final question, what is the biggest fear that you've had to kill in the last year?
The biggest fear that I've had to kill in the last year? Can I do 2 years?
Sure.
Because this year I've been absolutely fearless.
Okay.
Literally, like there's nothing that has made me afraid this year. But I will say, because I failed at something, it liberated me to even want to do more. And so rejection now for me has been one of the greatest blessings. Because I failed at that thing, now I have the freedom. I didn't die and I failed. So it's now I'm like, okay, bring on some failure. If that's what failure does, if failure made me write this book, launch a new career, let me fail some more. Okay, get me to the next level of greatness. So the biggest fear I had last year was the fear of failure. You know, I'd always had everything sorted. And here I got to a point in my life where I was just like, okay, what next? But that what next question was so powerful. What is this here to teach you was so powerful. So the fear of failure, overcoming that, has liberated me in such a way where now I'm unafraid of trying anything. I am unafraid of trying anything. So don't fear failure. Failure is a stepping stone to success, because failure is an opportunity to reassess your life and ask, you know, what is this here to teach me? How can I become better? And then move forward.
Beautiful. We call those moments eat dirt moments.
Yes.
When you fall flat on your face, you taste some dirt and you say, that's what dirt tastes like. Interesting. All right.
Yes.
So you know next time what to do. It's a lesson that's waiting on you on the other side of failure. If only you would get up. Thank you so much, Rochelle Dapier, attorney at law and happiness coach. She did mention in the beginning that she's thinking, I want to do something else outside of law. What that next step will be?
I know it.
What's that next step?
So I am going to be, I am going to be one of the forefront motivational speakers and inspirational leaders on the continent of Africa.
Boom.
I want to empower our people.
Done. Yes. It's said and it's done.
Yes, yes. We're powerful beyond measure, and I want, yes.
And if anybody's going to do it, it's a Jamaican. Yeah. I'm just saying, right? If anybody's going to do that, it's going to be some Jamaican blood in it.
Yes.
Fantastic. We see it and we believe it.
Thank you. I wish for you
that high performance and that big achievement. When it happens, we remember that we sat right here, we heard it, and it happened.
Thank you.
That's what she's here, folks. Remember to continue having those honest conversations, those radically honest conversations with yourself. Intense reflection on who you are and if you're really the person that you say you are. That's it for this episode of Good Gas Mondays. Remember to send in your comments, and if you know somebody with a powerful story, a fear killer story, send us an email at killfearnow@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from them. No story is too undeveloped. No personality is too unfamous for us to talk to them about their truth, because there's one thing we're learning on this podcast: every truth has its own power. And it's meant to catch the ear of the right listener. So send them in. We'd be happy to talk and to connect. Follow us online at Kill Fear Now on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. Or you can follow me at Christelle Tomlinson on Facebook and on Instagram. How can we find Rochelle online?
So I'm on Instagram and Facebook and Twitter, Rochelle Gapere, R-O-C-H-E-L-L-E, G-A-P-E-R-E, and my website is RochelleGapere.com.
Fantastic. That will do it for this episode. We look forward to having you with us one more time on another beautiful Monday, right here on Good Gas Mondays. This episode of Good Gas Mondays was brought to you by Megamart, best value by far. If you're in Jamaica and looking to grab a copy of my book, Kill Fear, The Art of Courageous Living, then be sure to stop by any Megamart store across the island. Megamart Waterloo, Portmore, Mandeville, and Montego Bay.